his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
We can get on air. There we are. We are on air. Let me get all these mics working here. Want to welcome our guest that are going to be with us, well, I guess I say that is with us, and David is helping me here as well. Let's get all these mics turned on. Well, we're so glad you're joining us right here Wednesday Live. It is 11:01, and we have a shorter intro now, David. So
yes, we do.
I have to burn some rubber to get up here to the mic and make things happen in time. But we do have Rabbi Zamstein with us this morning. Morning, and he is going to be a part of our morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about your faith journey, Rabbi, and so we welcome you to the air. And a little later, we're going to be jumping into that and just finding out about how your walk and journey in life has brought you into the kingdom. And so we're going to be talking some about that, and also hopeful to address the whole aspect of Israel, what's going on today, and how we as the American church, because that's who we're talking to, of course the nations might be listening as well, but how and why we should be standing with Israel, the people of God.
Mm. Well, biblically, of course, we know, I will bless those that bless you and curse you that curse you. And that's from the biblical standard for those that are followers of Yeshua.
Yep.
And the other thing is the only truly, you know, close Democratic partner to us in the West. You know, so those are the two main things. Although, unfortunately, if you're a historian, and from my perspective, ever since the end of World War II, Israel has not been allowed to win. That's why there's still problems there. If the West would allow them to win, that'd be the end of all the wars that it has. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, back in ancient times, when you went to war, you know, you went all out, and the loser loses, and that's the end of that until a new enemy arises. But meanwhile, we've been dealing with the same, you know, people in regards to fighting for the past 100-plus years. It's not 1,000 years. It's not 1,500 years. This Arab-Israeli is more Islamic. Judeo-Christian war, not an Arab-Israeli, you know, because there are Arabs of different faiths that live in Israel itself. They are a minority, you know, the majority is Jewish people, but there are minorities. As a matter of fact, you may have heard, they just rescued from the tunnels a Bedouin Muslim Arab, you know, in which people still try and make excuses. They rescued him, you know, this because he's Muslim. It says the fact is that if Hamas would have thought of anything, that if it's anything regarding Muslim, then why didn't they release him immediately? You know, when they captured him over almost a year ago. You know, so the whole thing is it's a bald-faced lie. The thing is, it's not a land issue. It's a religious war, because in Islam, once they conquered a place, they feel that it belongs to them, and they will do anything and take forever to get it back.
So that's what's taking place.
That's what's taking place.
Well, you heard a little bit from the rabbi, but he's going to hang out right here with us, and we're going to have a whole lot more to come. So, Rabbi, welcome. So great to have you with us today. And good to have Karen with us. She's a part of our team here at WCNO. And Karen, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And David is here as well.
Yes, I'm delighted to be here.
Great to have you with us, David. And, of course, those of you who listen in on Monday mornings know at 11 o'clock every Monday, David is right here with some profound interviews and guests that come in for the front line.
Amen.
Yes. That's going quite well, isn't it?
Thanks be to God. It's only going well because he's behind it, and the Spirit of God is moving in every broadcast.
Yep, great.
I'd love to hear from more people, by the way. You know, it's a lot more cutting edge than maybe some of the other programs. Not saying anything against them, but...
So who are you wanting to hear from?
Well, our listeners.
Oh, the listeners
okay. That are... Especially those that are appreciating. I mean, if you don't appreciate it, let us know, too.
We
can,
sure.
We're business boys and girls here. We can take criticism, but but I'd particularly like to hear if you're liking it and why in particular you're liking it. Which helps us redefine, you know, kind of fine-tune our programmer, stuff.
How would they reach out to you, David? How do you want people to reach out to you?
Well, carrier pigeons have died. They're no longer, so we can't do that.
So but, skip the pigeons.
Best way is to send an email to us through our website. Now, that email address is wcno@wcno.com. Send it to the attention of David.
Yep.
You can also add, you know, the frontline program, the name of the program. And I'll get it, and I'll look it over and share it with the staff.
And maybe share it on this program.
Maybe share it on
or
this
on
program,
your program,
yes. And even, again, you know, we're not afraid of criticism. And
not that we could have any.
No, not the right. Yeah, right. Oh, Jonathan.
But David, we have had some very positive and strong responses to the front line. Just I think a week ago, we had a very strong response to a guest that you had.
Well, it was actually one of the sessions we had to record.
Okay.
On a Saturday prior to that, because the guest could not be here on a Monday.
But no one knows that.
No one knows that. But Margie Gentoli, she doesn't mind us using her name, was a post-abortive woman who was very much involved. Met the Lord after that, all of that. She has a great, powerful story of how she came to Christ. But it was one of the listeners called in afterwards, and he immediately wanted to make a donation. He was so impressed. Now, he's a giver, but this was part of, he normally gives during prayer and share.
Sure.
But he was touched by her story, but particularly because he said when he was a 17-year-old teenager, he had made a girl pregnant, his girlfriend, and he was very adamant that she have an abortion. And ultimately, that pressure from him and other sources caused her to relent and have an abortion. And he said immediately after he was advised of the abortion, he went into 3 years of great depression.
Wow.
And it was Margie's, and of course he said that the Lord got him out of that, but he so resonated with what Margie had gone through, because it's not just the women who are post-abortive that go through great seasons of depression. It's often the men who force them, and how all of that led to his repentance and his...
It was tremendous.
Meeting Christ. It was
tremendous,
powerful.
Tremendous. And that's the, that's just the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, how can someone be healed of such tremendous trauma and scars in their life but through Christ?
Amen.
And Karen, of course, we pick on you because you have the biggest fan club, or at least you get the most mail.
You do. I do. I consistently get mail every week.
And we love that.
I know.
Yeah. I go to the post office box or I go to the mailbox and I'm like, I sure hope we have some mail today. And there it is. Karen's getting more mail.
That's right. And that's from our faithful brother Tim, who who apparently is enjoying, you know, listening to us, and I guess he resonates with the prophetic aspect of the program, which is the Lord. It's like God's working things out real time in each of our lives. and we're just discussing what he's speaking to each one of us.
And don't forget my friend Miss Tracy. She called and said, I love to hear those ladies do that program because I'm not sure, Tracy, but I think you may have said, I'm a lady and I like to listen to those ladies.
Right.
Yes. But you minister to her.
Yeah, and I'm finding that a lot of the feedback we get is from men. We had Sean called immediately after one program, and he was fired up and ready to go with what God is preparing him to do. And but everybody, and like Dave, you know, I enjoy getting feedback. And, you know, we had somebody left a voicemail last week, right during the program. So I didn't write it down, but. We do have it.
But it's great, and we look to bring it out.
Yeah. Well,
what about Derek? Who?
Derek, yes. Well, Derek is someone that you had prayed with. Derek McKinnon.
Yes, but he has come in. You've interviewed him.
He was on the program, and he'll probably be back.
Okay.
Because I love to have people who are in the process of moving and moving forward in the Spirit in a new ministry. And they haven't achieved total success yet, but, you know, we need to hear about folks.
I mean, there's still hope for me.
There's still hope for you.
Thank you.
Yes, there is.
Thank you, Father.
Well, I keep telling you that, man. But Derek had called for prayer, and Jonathan was the one who got a chance to pray with him. He was open to a new job, looking to have a new employment, something to be more financially beneficial to him. And Jonathan prayed with him, and it was the next day that he called back, and he said, "I got the job. It was a wonderful new." Employment situation. So from time to time we do people call for prayer.
They do.
We do pray with them, and you know, God certainly moves.
And that is great to hear from you. And I believe, Rabbi, it's the same in your fellowship as well as all of ours. So, you know, we pray for people, and when there are praise reports, we need to lift them up, and so we like to
Absolutely.
Do that. Like to do that. David, do you have any mail?
I do.
Speaking of mail, we may have something to share.
We have a little our dear friend Francois, who he's a generous lover of Christ and generous in many ways.
Yes.
Including with his finances.
A great friend of our ministry.
Great friend of the ministry. And he recently linked us up with his pastor there to do some promotion for the
church.
He's
excited about his pastor and the church and the ministry that's taking place there.
So he writes a little note. He says, thank you for your help. God bless you all. And, of course, we thank him for his help.
Sure.
And this is a way through his generosity and the vision God gave Francois. And now their church, which is a great, I mean, God moving in that place.
And you know Pastor Paul from the church you've met?
Pastor Paul Hugobart, he was on our program of the front line not too long ago, and we'll have him back. He's just one of these pastors that is serving God in the way that he wants. God wants pastors to serve him today.
He's a great brother.
And creating a church that is part of what I call the reset for these times.
So that's good.
So
that's good.
Yeah, and we thank Francoise and
for your partnership with
us. Absolutely,
and
partnership
in being a part of getting the word out in the local congregation.
Yes.
And you know, that this is it's a great thing when someone is a part of a fellowship and wants to get the word out, knowing that God has called the leadership in that local congregation and has gifted them, and there's a message to go out, and people be blessed by it. And so that, Francois, if you're listening today, God bless you. Thank you. And we all pray that God raises up our congregation with the gifts they have to be able to communicate with others and reach more. Karen, what do you have? You have some mail, too?
Yes, we received, I imagine she sent in her donation, Marilee from Vero Beach. And along with her donation, she sent a little magnet with Psalm 46:5 on it, which said, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. And we know, of course, that's referring to the church.
Church, to Israel, to his people. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that was a pretty
That's great.
She's the one that sends us recipes as well.
She does. She does. And we've even had some pet recipes, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, I mean, pet cookies.
Food for pets now.
Food
for pets.
Advertisement is good advertisement.
There you go. Yeah, all that works.
Advertisement is advertisement.
Yeah. You have anything else, Karen?
Yes, just let people know that at First Church of the Nazarene in Fort Pierce.
Dear friends of ours.
Yes, they're on 611 Gardenia Avenue. Tomorrow, Thursday the 29th, they'll be having the Park It Market, which is a fresh food, a fresh solution for the community. And it's the Treasure Coast Food Bank. Looks like they have like a food truck, but it will contain fresh produce and fresh items, food items. And there's a limited supply, first come, first serve. And it's a walk-up style distribution. And again, this is the Treasure Coast Food Bank truck. And they will be at First Church of the Nazarene tomorrow, Thursday, from 2 to 3:30 p.m.
So get Park It Market.
Park It Market.
Park It Market. I love it.
It looks like little refrigerators in a food truck.
That's good. That's good. So there it is. You heard about it right here. And Rabbi, you're going to have to stand by because I see Ma and Paul.
Ma and Paul, who have
not been in the studio for a while.
But it's not Ma and Paul Kettle.
No. and some are wondering, did we lose Ma and Paul? Are they still with us? Well, they're with us today. And so we'll see what's going on in Bickers Corner. Well, it's been a long, long time since we heard from them. And it's long been known that people who live in rural areas have much lower stress than city dwellers. However, the rural life is not exempt from challenges to one's peace. The stressors of city living mostly emerge from employment and economy-related issues, heavy traffic, high crime, and other elements that are related to living in a high-density population. Rural areas like Bickers Corner do not suffer from big city stressors, but they are more likely to react powerfully to things such as the death of a local leader or the closing of a beloved business. Rural towns have a bigger stake in relationships, with several generations of people having lived and died in the same locale. Also, and the focal point of today's story has to do with stress over the reporting of local legends. These legends thrive on inexplicable events reported over time by more or less reputable witnesses. These reports, inflated by fear-born passions and the anxiety of the unknown, form the pulsating backdrop of the rural ethos, where innuendo is elevated to the level of the supernatural. Ma and Paul are about to explore such an event today. Let's just call this story The Return of the Moss Man.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Well, you know, usually I'd say yes, but I'm getting ready to drive over to old Madison Corbidge's place. She's all wrapped around the axle about something, scared out of her wits. She wouldn't tell me over the phone what it's all about, but...
Oh, well, I believe I know what the matter is, Ma.
I suspect it's something to do with her bad shoulder. You know, she was a pro bowler. For 40 years, she slung them heavy bowling balls in practice and on the tours. Why, her right arm looked like she had just borrowed it from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, for sure, Ma, but...
And now she's got rotator cuff issues. So I'll bet she's going to have surgery. And you know how she hates the idea of being cut on. In fact...
Just a minute. It ain't got nothing to do with her rotator cuff. Besides which, you may not know, she's been competing in them arm wrestling contests old Bert set up in the afternoons down at the feed store. In fact, she put old Phil Hunkenwhopper in the hospital last week with a broke arm in two places. The fellers who was there said old Phil was crying like a little girl when she done it. But listen, you know she lives on the southern edge of the swamp, right?
Well, of course I do. I've been to her place hundreds of times. She said she likes to hear the frogs croaking and the crickets cricketing at night. And the occasional gator barking, too. She said it gives her peace.
Well, I don't doubt that's true. But I guess you didn't hear what happened to her last night. It's the reason she wants you to come out and comfort her, I'll bet.
Well, like I said earlier, she wouldn't say what's got her so jumpy.
Well, she's popping out of her skin because last night, around midnight, while she was on her screen porch, enjoying all them swamp critters and their noises, she saw the Moss Man.
What? The Moss Man? Paul, that ain't nothing but a local legend. There's no truth to them stories. You and I both know that. But there are some folks that do believe it, mainly because that legend's been passed down from generation to generation.
My daddy said it all started around the end of the 19th century. Bicker's Corner was just a tiny little village back then. Old Jeremiah Bicker owned a general store, and he had two boys, Elmer and Josephus. In those days, it was popular to use Spanish moss to fill up mattresses. And old Jeremiah had a good business supplying that moss to his customers.
You know, I remember hearing stories about that. He'd send those boys into the swamp to harvest that moss.
Correct. And this is how the legend got started. One day, Elmer and Josephus went into the swamp to harvest moss. Now, this was a summer day, and it was common for thunderstorms to form in the early afternoons. A dilly of a storm was coming together that would change the lives of them boys forever. Ignorant of the impending storm, Elmer and Josephus had pulled their John boat deep into the swamp and started climbing into them trees. The harvesting went well, and with their boat heavily loaded with moss, the boys proceeded to make their way out of the swamp. As they were coming into open water, they noticed the dark clouds. And before they could generate a thought about what to do, the wind kicked up some fierce. The boat rocked violently, and Josephus, who was standing at the bow of the boat, fell back onto the heap of moss in the center of the boat. Oh, and at that same time, a great lightning bolt cleaved the leaden sky and bathed old Josephus in its bright white light. When old Elmer's eyesight recovered, he noticed that both Josephus and their mossy cargo had disappeared.
And from all that, the legend of the Moss Man was born. They never did find old Josephus' body, and at some point, the idea that the lightning had fused the moss and his body together makes it for a fearful creature that gained popularity.
And then any unusual or unexplained event that came upon Bicker's Corner was attributed to the Moss Man. When a cow had birthed a calf with two heads, when there was a drought during the rainy season, when a man lost all his hair overnight, when anything unfortuitous occurred, the Moss Man got the blame.
Yes, and that legend continues. A couple of years ago, Ben Grickenfludge lost his voice, so he couldn't do his stand-up comedy act at the Else Club talent show. And old Emily Pittengruber stabbed herself with a knitting needle so bad she penetrated an artery. Then, even last week, old Dan Flebtardo sat on an overinflated hemorrhoid cushion and got bounced out of his chair and out of an open second-story window. And all blamed on the Moss Man.
Ah, and let's not forget old Harry Blimperton. His house exploded last week, debris flying everywhere. All that was left was a 60-foot-deep crater. That got blamed on the Moss Man also. And now, old Madison Cribbage is wrapped around the axle because she says she caught sight of the Moss Man. Question is, what did she really see, if she saw anything at all?
Well, that's what I aim to find out when I go visit her. Madison ain't that type to be fidgety or airheaded, so something's got her real scared. I know she watches all them legacy news outlets every single day. That's enough to give anyone the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I hope you can get to the bottom of her concerns, Ma. I mean, let's face it. Every story we hear about that Moss Man actually points to the storyteller's lack of responsibility or poor planning. The Moss Man has always been a means of deflecting attention from someone's incompetence or bad judgment.
Yeah, I know that's right. I remember when we'd been married just for a couple of years, came out one day to work in my garden. All the plants had been ripped out of the ground and thrown around. When I asked you what happened, you said, well, maybe the Moss Man was upset and decided to take it out in your garden.
Yeah, I remember that. I did apologize later, though, and admitted admitted I'd fallen asleep mowing the lawn.
Yeah, and then you decided you were working too hard and didn't need to stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning doing stuff.
What a great revelation that was. But you know, like a lot of folks, the Moss Man became an easy way to deflect blame from my own stupidity.
Well, I know that a few events still have no apparent explanation, like Harry Blimberton's house blowing up.
Well, you know, just this morning I spoke to the police chief at the men's Bible study. Looks like Harry's son Colson had a meth lab in his bedroom.
Oh, well, the Moss Man ain't going to get credit for that one, I guess. And now I need to help old Madison get to the root of her fear, because it's some kind of fear that caused her to see the Moss Man.
Ma, I know you'll be a great help. Get prayed up, and the Lord will give you wisdom.
I believe that. But you know, Pa, with folks getting all anxious about the Moss Man again, I got some concerns for this whole town. Thinking that we ought to get word to all the prayer groups in the church, they add this to their daily intercessions.
That's a good idea. And I'm thinking about getting old Al Parchimini to fly his crop duster over the whole town.
What? Well, what's that going to do?
Plenty, if his tanks are full of hole oil. One good anointing and that Moss Man will disappear into the swamp again, maybe never to return.
Well, today's story might have reminded you of challenges you are currently facing. It's very easy for even the best of us to forget to take all of our concerns to God, especially when we feel we're under attack from several angles. There is no kind of suffering we experience that God doesn't understand, and no pain for which he doesn't have a remedy. In fact, everyone can summon their version of the Moss Man when the fear of knowing our sin is greater than the pain it causes. And this means of deflecting the truth only prolongs our suffering, as well as those around us. Today's story is a gentle reminder to turn literally everything over to God, whose love and mercy are everlasting, and who will chase the Moss Man into the shadows where he belongs. Remember what Jesus said about himself as recorded in John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thank you so much, Ma and Paul. So great to have had you with us in the studio today. And as you know, you're listening to Wednesday Live. It's right now 11:27, and we do have Rabbi Zemstein with us today, and we are going to be talking some about his life. First, I want to just remind you that we have some big events coming up right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida. We have a powerful night. It's entitled, I Will Stand with Israel. I Will Stand with Israel. And we are going to have right here on the Treasure Coast at the Finn Center in Port St. Lucie on September the 26th. We will have Paul Wilbur, along with his ministry team, several from his ministry team, as well as Jonathan Kahn. And we are looking forward to that evening. It's going to be a powerful evening. And, of course, having Rabbi with us today is a great blessing. And we're going to be talking some about some of these things that are so important, which, of course, is Israel. I am going to go to a little spot that we have, and it's just a spot by Paul Wilbur promoting the event, and then we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and I want to invite you to a very special event. Please join me and my dear friend, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, for an evening of praise and worship and inspiration. Join us with Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th, in the Fenn Center, Fort Pierce, Florida. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. I will stand with Israel.
Tickets are available for a donation of $20 at tccalliance.com or call 772-324-9313.
All right, so you're going to want to put that on your calendar, September the 26th. Jonathan Kahn as well as Paul Wilbur are going to be right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida for an evening, I Will Stand with Israel. Speaking of that, I want to welcome Rabbi Zemstein with us. Great to have you. Live in studio, actually. And the other day when we were seeking to reach you, you were in jail, and we were waiting for them to let you out.
That's true. I thank God that they let me out every time I go there.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
What do you do in jail?
I basically volunteer to minister, teach there.
Okay.
I go there to the chapel Monday evening at Rock Road.
Okay.
And then Tuesday afternoon, I go to their spiritual dorm.
Okay.
And then Tuesday evenings, when they don't have a lockdown, I go to Okeechobee and minister there.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So what kind of response are you seeing?
For the most part, the gentlemen there are just blessed and fascinated that I come from a Jewish viewpoint. And even though I don't push them to become more Jewish,
sure,
I just give them from a Jewish perspective of their the faith that they're seeking,
excellent,
know, mm-hmm. or wanting to come back to, mm-hmm. one or the other, because it's a it's so wonderful to see gentlemen that want to hear God, and most of them seem to be interested. I'm sure there's always exceptions who just want to get out of their cell block, but I don't know. I don't ask. I'm not there to find out their intimate story of how they wound up there. I'm just there to minister, and hopefully that God, the Spirit, will get to them, the Ruach, that will awaken the Spirit within them, that when they are released, that they will seek Him and no longer go back to the old neighborhoods.
Amen, for sure. Amen. So this is what I'm hearing, that there is a hunger of many that are in the prison system, and there are some very positive things, and we thank God for that. So for our listening family today, remember to pray for those who are incarcerated, knowing and understanding that many times it's the mercy of God that allows one to be caught and found out,
yes.
so that they can actually be awakened. And so wherever the pig pen is, if we can hear the voice of God and come to our senses, that's a blessed place.
Yeah.
Rabbi, thank you for your service to the incarcerated. I think that's an awesome area of ministry, but you are also a rabbi of a congregation. Tell us where that is and how people could find out more about it.
Well, we meet Saturday mornings at the Life Center on 2900 Jenkins Road, Fort Pierce, formerly of the Ted Rice, a wonderful man of God that he was, that he brought us in to be a part of his ministry, in the sense of allowing us to rent for much, much less money than what it cost, very affordable, because he felt that the word of God says, bless Israel and I'll bless you.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So the name of the location again is 20.
It's called the Life Center on
Life Center,
2900 Jenkins Road in Fort Pierce.
And you meet when?
It's not too far away from the KOA.
Okay.
You know, and we meet Saturday mornings. Our service starts at 10:30. Sometimes I wonder if I should say, come at 10, and that way they'll be there by 10:30 instead of later.
Wait a minute. Do you mean the clocks run off schedule with Jewish people as well sometimes?
Well, it's not just Jewish people. You go to a church and they come late too.
I know that. I deal with that all the time.
You know, I mean, after all, they've been adopted into the household of Israel, where you go by Jewish time instead of regular time.
There you go. And I have some Jamaicans in my congregation, and they have a different schedule too.
Yeah.
But not going to pick on my Jamaican friends too much, because I fight
the
with them. They do have the rhythm. So Rabbi, you are in the local area. This is in Fort Pierce, and so you have weekly services every Saturday, 10:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to having faith in Yeshua? And we want to cover a few topics, so give us a little introduction for people who are listening today and just wondering, how does a Jewish person come to receive Yeshua?
Very difficult, because even if you grow up a heathen Jew, meaning non-practicing,
okay,
you know, you hear through the air, Jesus is not for us.
Okay,
you know,
so you grew up with that.
Basically, I was born in Israel.
Okay,
you know, in the Tel Aviv area.
Okay,
and my parents are Holocaust survivors. My father, in fact, was interned in a camp, but managed to escape early on in the war, and he joined a resistance group in which he fought the Nazis behind enemy lines for about 5 years before moving to Israel to fight for its independence. You know, so when I was born in November of 52, when the country was still very young, considered to be a third world country at that time. And in the summer of 62, my parents decided to move to the States. I found out before my father's death, because they never told me why. I always thought they moved here because, you know, like most Jewish people who came from over Europe, the golden Medina, the golden land, you know, gold in the streets and all that. Yeah, but I found out later, because I did finally, before he passed away, I says, why did you come here? You know, you were very happy over there.
Yeah.
He had a great life there, you know, and he said, because of you. And apparently I found out that I have learning disabilities, and I always knew I had difficulty in learning, but he says, that's why I brought you here, because I thought he'd have more help here. And I said, I don't think they helped me, Dad. You know, so I grew up. My parents, both of them, when they were young, very religious. But like most Jewish people who came out of the Holocaust, they either their faith was stronger or no faith, hardly at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get two types of people that... a circumstance that happens in their lives, they either trust God more, you know, and do the Roman 8:28 thing,
right?
You know, or they lose their faith totally. And unfortunately, that happened. And so, even though culturally European, I was raised in a Jewish household, we were not that great of a synagogue goers. Occasionally, I went. Most of the high holidays, I was playing outside in the streets instead of going to school. You know, like most non-religious Jews, even in Israel, on the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, secular Jewish kids take their opportunity to ride on the highways on their bicycles. You know, normally you can't. Cars going 55 to plus miles an hour. But Yom Kippur, there's hardly any cars. So they go on the streets and ride their bikes like that. But I wasn't raised that way. And then I went to college. And there, some friends introduced me to a gentleman. His name is, I still remember his name, Conrad Cook.
Conrad Cook.
Yes, who is retired somewhere in Pennsylvania, I think. He worked at that time for Campus Crusade for Christ.
Okay.
And we were introduced, and he started to talk about Jesus, as he said. And I said, with all due respect, I'm Jewish, not interested. You know, he says, okay, but would you be interested in a friend of mine who is happened to be Jewish, and because we talked a little bit before background, that his parents were Hungarian Jews who were Holocaust survivors as well, and he is a believer in Yeshua. And I said, really? So I started to go to this guy's, his name is John Fisher. He is, by the way, he has his own ministries called Menorah Ministries. He also has a congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida. And he's also the Dean of Jewish Studies at St. Petersburg Bible College over there.
Wow.
You know, and he has several degrees, like four bachelors, two masters, a PhD, a THD. He's a pretty smart guy, you know, but very, very kind-hearted man, patient. And he picked me up for Bible studies every Friday evening, you know, and I was introduced, and I listened first and all that, and I didn't come from a perspective that, you know, people get struck by the Holy Spirit, you know, the Ruach HaKodesh, to boom, all of a sudden. I was, even though I would consider myself an intellectual, I approached it intellectually, prophetic-wise, you know, about who the Messiah is. And so I was introduced, and then eventually it wound up that, you know, despite there was prophecy that we know of, the first ones in Genesis chapter 3, you know, about the serpent biting the heel of Eve's son, Chava, you know, and he ultimately would crush his head, the serpent. So But the ones that convinced me more was Daniel, who said that this prince, who eventually be known as the Mashiach, will come, but he had to come after the destruction of the temple. Of course, when Daniel wrote this, he was an old man already. The first temple was destroyed already, and so there's only one left, and that's the year 70. And there's only one guy that fits that picture, especially after I read Isaiah 53, and it says that he will die for our rebelliousness. I know in English for our sin and all that, but the actual Hebrew word is pesha, which is for outright rebelliousness against God. Mm. And so those two things convinced me that he was.
Powerful.
And then basically I began to attend first a Messianic fellowship, which eventually wound up to be one of the four Messianic fellowships that developed to became one of the first Messianic synagogues, and which now there are over 200 plus this, and which there are 200,000 Jewish people who outwardly express that they are believers, but I've also have read articles in which there are a million Jewish believers in Yeshua.
So the 200,000 is just in the United States, right?
All over the world.
Okay.
All over the world. There are 20,000 in Israel who are
20,000 in Israel.
Who are open.
You know. But it's possible there could be as many as a million now that are followers of...
Right, but most of them like to hide churches.
Okay. Rabbi, we're gonna pick this back up in just a moment. I want to go to a song. It's called Days of Elijah. Have you heard that?
A few times.
Yes. Paul Wilbur's going to be with us coming up September the 26th. This is one of his songs. And so invite you to go online to the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Spell out Alliance. You can find out all about the concert and the evening of worship and ministry with Jonathan Kahn as well.
Time.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, I'll never forget the night I was in Israel when this song came out, Paul Wilbur, The Feast, mm-hmm. Tabernacles, and we were out in the desert, and the full moon's coming up over the sea,
yeah.
And up on the mountain, of course, they would be lighting the lights, and as Paul was leading in worship that evening, what a powerful night, powerful night.
Was that in the Dead Sea area?
Yes, it was in the Dead Sea area.
Mm-hmm. Yep, by the way, if anybody wants to go and have some nice hiking and get some exercise, especially En Gedi,
mm-hmm. Beautiful.
You go up, and if you do the full climb to the top, you're talking about almost 2-hour climb. With somewhere is it steps, other it's ledges. You hold on to steel bars, and you will get some exercise and see wonderful sights.
Beautiful.
And you will see where David hid from Shaul.
There
King
you
Saul.
Are. There you are. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Powerful. I'm going to want to ask you to address the month of September because I believe that's Elul.
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 It's an acronym for Elul. Ani le dodi ve dodi li. You know, it is basically the sixth month on the Hebrew Jewish calendar. It used to be known as the month of Ethanim in the old days, but the seventh month, of course, is Tishrei, where the high holidays fall into. But right now we are finishing off the month of Av.
Okay.
And which basically one of the saddest months of the year in the Jewish community, because they eulogize and remember the destruction of both temples and Jerusalem, both times.
In the same month, right?
In the same month, approximately the same time, so they put it in the same day.
Okay.
They actually start commemorating that in January, on the 10th day of the month of Tevet, where the outer walls of Jerusalem were first breached.
Yeah.
And then we come into the season of course, the Feast of Esther, then the Passover, and then from Passover to Shavuot or Pentecost, you have what's called a semi-mourning period, in which 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva died, they say, from a plague, but in actuality, they died because the Romans killed them.
Yeah.
You know, with the Bar Kokhba revolution from the year 133 to 135. And so they have a semi-mourning period, and there's only one day, the 33rd day, in which they allow joyous parties, weddings, and then again, semi-mourning period, no joyous occasions, weddings, until the Pentecost, Shavuot is over with, and then you have like a few weeks break, summer, wilderness, and then you have period of the ninth of Av, which is a full fast day, like Yom Kippur, you know, in which in the morning, especially in Israel, religious Jews go to the Western Wall. They either sit on little stools and or carpets on the floor. They actually put on a sackcloth and they pour ashes on them as a sign of mourning. They do not put their phylacteries on in the morning. They do it in the afternoon later. It's the only time of the year that they don't put on their tefillin or their phylacteries in the morning. They wait till the end of the day. Because it's joyous, because when you wrap around, you're marrying God. Because when you read the Hosea chapter 3, that I will betroth you unto me, you know, and all that, it's a betrothing. So they remind that they are betrothed to God. So you have ninth of Av, it's over, and then a week later, there's a celebration called Tu B'Av, which is the 15th of the month, which reminds you that even though sad occasions, and our people were almost destroyed, just like the Tu B'Av, the reason to celebrate that is that it's a great day to get married, because if you go back to the book of Judges, when the tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped out because of what happened to the concubine that was sliced up and diced up and all that stuff, but they allowed marriage between the tribes, even though they originally said no way.
Right.
You know, so they have that. And then now we've gone from that time, from 2 weeks ago this past Shabbat, that we start what's called the 7 weeks of consolation, in which, you know, God rebuked for 3 weeks. God rebuked Israel, you know, of all their idolatrous and immoral lifestyles that they followed of the nations. And now we have 7 weeks before we come to Yom Kippur, you know, the high holidays time, in which God consoles us. We're starting from Isaiah 40, comfort ye, comfort mm-hmm. my people. You know, last week we have from Isaiah 49, can a woman forget her child and all that, and so forth. It'll go all the way till Yom Kippur, when they literally say God forgave the people because Moses came down with the second set of the tablets. Mm-hmm. You know, so we go into this, but the month of Elul is a preparation time, because it's a time to prepare our hearts to seek God, to ask for forgiveness. And just like Yeshua spoke in Matthew 5, he says part of going before God to ask for forgiveness, you have to do something first. Mm-hmm. And that is put your offering down and go fix your problem you had with your neighbor, your family, this, then go to God. And that's part of this. The Jewish people go ask for forgiveness of any problems they've had with either friends, family, or community members. This, but Elul is also a special time in that it is the 1 month out of the year. Of course, and again, it means Ani Lido Divido Dili from the Song of Song. I am my to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. And it's, by the way, it's on my ring in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You know, my wife has a similar ring, which, by the way, 46 years ago, a couple weeks ago, we've hit 46 years of marriage.
Congratulations.
And we both. Both rings etched inside, gold, 24. Both rings cost me $300 46 years ago. Today, okay. It would cost you a minimum of $1,000 per ring.
There you go.
You know? But it's a special time where they say, you know how in a kingdom you have a king, or even can say our president. Can you or I walk into the White House and say, hi, well, I want to talk to you?
No.
No. You'd be lucky to get an appointment.
Right.
You know, unless
right.
you're somebody special or whatever. So what they say is, because God is the king, and on this special month, Elul, there's a special title that says, the king is in the field. In other words, God, who is unapproachable, unless you can get an appointment, you know, like Esther with the scepter, says he comes down, he leaves his royal place and comes down, and he walks in the field, and you're walking the manual thing, and then suddenly you feel like a tap. You turn around,
tap on the shoulder.
Oh my God, it's the king,
right?
You know, so the claim says this is a time where God is reaching out. It's not you trying to get to him. He's reaching out to you.
Beautiful.
And then it reminded me, and you know, I learned it many years ago. But, you know, when you don't think about it all the time, and this year it's come to my mind again, is that the fact that when you look at John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You go to Philippians, when it says where he gave up his royal position, it reminds us of that fact that indeed God has come down and is walking among us in the field and saying, hey, I am reachable. All you got to do is when I let me in.
Let me in. Seeking the tabernacle amongst us,
that's
right?
It.
Yeah.
So that's
beautiful.
Part of the specialty of the month of Elul, like that. And you know, the Torah portions follow along with the themes of what's going on. Now last week was Akev, you know, basically on the heels of like that, and you know that takes us. And I taught this not only my congregation but to the inmates, that you know, about the serpent and the Messiah with the heel thing in Genesis 3, and like that. But the rabbis call it when you see the times, you know, that Ezekiel spoke about Gog Magog, which he says, even the rabbis say, looking closer and closer, that we are in Zmanim Ikvot HaMashiach. on the heels of the Messiah. Mm. You know, so we literally see the rabbis see it. We, of course, see it because the Lord himself says, when you'll see nation against nation, wars, rumors of wars, and the great falling away. I mean, we have not seen that.
Not on the scale it is today.
Even when you go back to the Middle Ages, when nation fought each other, they still have faith in God, but we see a great falling,
falling away,
and it's so terrible that, you know, either parents didn't teach their children, or they basically forced down their throat that they wanted to get away from it as much as possible, or the parents did the best possible job, as Proverbs says, train them, teach them, and but they still go their own ways when they grow up.
Rabbi, we're almost out of time.
Okay.
We're almost out of time, but I want to bring you back. I want to talk about some things like where the lost tribes, they're not lost to God, we know. But the scripture talks about there's going to be 144,000 or some other things I'd like to bring up in the future. But I do have a book in my hand. And what is the title of the book, Karen?
That looks like The Dragon's Prophecy.
Dragon's Prophecy. I have a book in my hand. Jonathan Kahn's book is going to be coming out 2 weeks before, just 2 weeks before the interview. I'm going to have an interview with Jonathan here on the 18th. Going to have an interview with Paul Wilbur coming up on the 4th. That's coming up shortly. The 18th of next month, going to have Jonathan Kahn. And then on the 25th, I'm hopeful to have both of them on air at the same time in the afternoon. And then on the 26th, we're going to have a great evening of celebration, worship, intercession, and ministry. Jonathan Kahn will be with us there at the I Will Stand With Israel event. This is in Fort Pierce at the Finn Center. It's close. You're in West Palm. You can jump on 95, the turnpike, come up. You can get there very easily. If you're in the north, Indian River County, Okeechobee County, there are tickets available, and you can get tickets right now. You can go to TCC Alliance. That's for Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And I should put in a plug, David. This program is sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. And so that's why we speak when these events are coming up. And so this is a Treasure Coast Christian Alliance event that is sponsored. And Rabbi, from your congregation, we have a most delightful group that play the shofars that will be opening up our evening.
Three gentlemen will be blowing a shofar.
Tremendous.
And then, so we can say, shofar so good.
Shofar so good.
And we'll have also a number of our dancers who will be dancing to Paul Wilbur during that time.
Concert.
Concert. And then, of course, they're both ministers because it's actually not a concert.
No.
It's a worship time.
Yeah, it is a worship time.
You know, and so we're looking forward to that. As far as the lost tribes, they were not lost.
They were not lost. Now, hold on to that. We're not going to go there today. We're going to save that for another day.
Oh, okay.
That's another topic for another day. We're down to like the last minute. I do want to just close out by jumping into this next song, which I love. But, Rabbi, thank you so much for joining us today. To all of you, our listeners, this Vakasha. Is Wednesday Live. What is that?
Vakasha.
Vakasha. What is that?
Well, you're welcome.
You're welcome. Okay. All right. So our blessings go out to all of you, our family.